Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Peter. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, let's get into this. He says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Well, he's not going to let Paul, in his traditional greeting, you know, get one up on him. He's going to make sure he throws in a little extra there. Hey, may it be multiplied too. Grace and peace, how important. You know, the grace of God and the peace of God is ours, and may it be multiplied. He says, man, may it just, and especially in this time of oppression or pressure or the outside external forces that are closing in from the world around the believer, whether it was 2,000 years ago or 2 days ago, right? It's the pressure of the things of the world closing in on it, putting pressure on us. And we want to make sure our identification is sure and we're connected to the right thing. He said, blessed be, in verse 3, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Now, this is talking about this begotten us again. It's talking about, it's the same, it's a different phraseology, but it does is in reference to being born again. That is the reference. But that being said, that is the reference, but it isn't like you're being born again, right? Because you can't be born again, right? You're either born again or you're not. Can we agree on that? You can, again, we can get the refresh. We can, all those things are valid and we want that. If you have experienced the outpouring of God's Spirit, if you've experienced that, and you know what I'm talking about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've experienced that, that is not something that just, there is a primary time that you can look back on and say, yeah, you know, I really experienced that. But there is also subsequent fillings that we want that every day, any day, all the time. We want to be infilled and empowered by the Spirit of the living God regularly. So it's kind of like that idea. That, you know, he wants to remind you, hey, don't forget, you've been born again. And basically, again, I'm wanting to remind you about what your identification is, who you're connected to. So he says, man, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are people that are struggling. These are people that are suffering and being seriously persecuted. We see this in our world today, almost like we haven't seen it so visibly in many, many years. It's very, very visible to us. And it could be because of, you know, the information highway that's out there. You know, information just travels so quickly now, right? And so maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I think it's because we're living in the last days. That's what I think. I think we're living in times that this is the type of thing that we're going to see happen. And it's challenging. And people are being oppressed and pressure and this is what's happening there. But he says, this abundant mercy, God's abundant mercy that he's shown us has begotten us again to a living hope. That is so important to identify with the living hope. Now, some of you that are, and a lot of you are, considerably younger, it's different when you're younger, hope is always kind of like still there. And it can be for a lot of different things. You know, it can be for all kinds of different things. It could be for ambitions maybe that you have for a certain degree, let's say, or a certain career path that you've got this ambition for. Or it could be a lot of different things. It can be for marriage and family and all kinds of different stuff. You know, it could be for travel, adventure, or all kinds of things that we want. It could be the acquisition of stuff and all these things. You know, it's kind of these hopes that we have. Oh, well, maybe one day I'm going to have this. Or maybe, well, as you get a little bit older, you know, these things start to kind of, you realize they kind of just, they slip through a little bit faster. And you realize, well, you know, that might not happen. You know, I seriously doubt that I will be entering into the Pipeline Classic surf contest anytime soon. Though I might have wanted to at one point in my life, had aspirations of entering into something like that, that's not likely going to happen. Death and dismemberment would occur quickly in a situation like that now, if you've ever watched surf contests, okay? In other words, that hope of ever being a part of something, that's just not there. This is a living hope. It's not something that fades with age. As a matter of fact, read Billy Graham's recent post from his son. Franklin made a great little statement for those of you who read it. He talked about, hey, Daddy talks. It was his birthday on the 7th. He goes, Daddy talks often now, most often, about heaven. Why? He's almost there. He's almost there. And so he's always talking about it because he's almost there. It's still a living hope, you see? Though this outward man is perishing, that eternal hope that we have is being renewed day by day. And so the best, brothers and sisters, the best is yet to come. We haven't seen anything yet. The best that you and I could acquire on this side is nothing in comparison to the eternal and the blessing of the eternal that we have out there. So, he has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The reality of that living hope is that someone has passed from life to life. In other words, they left this life, they saw physical death, and then they came back. And we've seen that, and that is our hope in the realm of the Spirit for each of us as followers of Jesus Christ. The resurrection and the power of the resurrection to an inheritance incorruptible. How many of you know what an inheritance is? Y'all know, right? It's something that's been set aside for you, maybe by your folks or your grandparents or something, and it's been set aside for you, and when you hit a certain point, it's entrusted to you, right? So it's an inheritance. But that inheritance can easily fade away, couldn't it? What if they put it in some kind of a, what if they put your inheritance, and it was all put in some stock, some company, that all of a sudden was doing a bunch of stuff ecologically wrong and goes down the tubes. And all your inheritance was that. See, that's something that would quickly fade away, right? That inheritance, because that's based on things here. But this inheritance is incorruptible. It's without ability to destroy. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't fade. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So that's where we started. For you and I as Christians, you have a reservation. You have a reservation that's been made at the time that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, that one day you would walk in and inherit the fullness of the inheritance that's been set aside for you. Right now, we get bits and pieces of it. It's ours today. So there is truth that we need to understand that is a spiritual reality that it is ours. But in the practical, it is still being worked out, isn't it? Because we're not quite there yet. So positionally, it's yours. Practically, still in transit. You know, we're still in the process, right? But as far as God's concerned, it's yours. It's mine. It's ours. As far as God's concerned, it's a done deal because he lives in the eternal. It's done. It's yours. I think this is great because this is so, think about this. If everything that you have worked for was stripped from you because the government took it, every penny that you worked so hard for, that you set aside for, what if it was all stripped from you? What if the bank account, you go online, it's zero? Everything's gone. Everything's gone. And now they're pounding on your door and they want to say, hey, you know what? If you got Bibles, we want them. Denounce Christianity. We want all your stuff. Anything that has anything to do with Christianity, you're giving it up. We're burning it out in the streets. Everybody's stuff's getting burned now. Give it to us. They take it by force. You don't want to give it up willingly. Hopefully you and I have read enough and memorized enough that we know something, that we remember something. Hopefully we've tucked something away. because that might be what we have. And then it's all gone. This is the kind of people he's writing to. People who are rejected by society because of their faith and their belief and their convictions about Jesus Christ. Man, I think this is powerful. He says, man, there's something that's been reserved. There's a reservation that's been made for you and for me. There's something been set aside for each of us that God's given to us. He says, despite the circumstances that are going on around you, man, fix your eyes on the eternal, that which really matters. He goes, that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled in verse 4, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. It's personal, isn't it? It's reserved for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It says, ultimately, when that trumpet sounds, you see, all these things are part of an eternal time clock that's going on. You know, there's things that are going to happen. This earth that we see the way we see it, it's going to be, rebuilt again, right? It's not going to be like we see. It's going to be rebuilt more to its original design. And we're going to get to walk around and enjoy that. But that's what we want to focus on. We don't focus on all the horrible things that happen here on this side. We want to focus on the eternal, the hope that we really have. Because this is for only so many years, which is pretty limited in comparison to eternal, which is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. What an encouraging word that he shares with them. In this, you greatly rejoice, in verse 6. He kind of gets to the crux of it now. He's getting with them. He's saying, I know we've got to have joy in our heart. We want to rejoice in this, in these verses 3-5, in these truths. Man, we can rejoice in this. And then he says, though now, even at this point, though, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. If you're going through difficult times, if you're struggling, he says, if that's the case, he says, man, we want to rejoice, though, that the genuineness of your faith, that which you believe to be true, being much more precious than gold that perishes, says this is the most valued metal, the most valued treasure, so to speak, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus is revealed, when we see him for who he is, man, we get to just, there's my king. There's my friend. There's my savior. There he is. That identification with the eternal, not stuck and hung up on the temporal. That be what we focus on. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, that is the salvation of your souls, that ultimately, as followers, as people who have committed our lives to Jesus Christ, that is the end result, that we actually see him and we get to experience all that he has for us. And he says to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. This is what we live for as Christians. There's so many things that vie for our attention, so many things that would distract us from this eternal picture that's there, that he's word painted for us, this eternal realm. There are so many things that would vie for our attention to distract us from what's actually really the important stuff, what really matters. Of this salvation, the prophets in verse 10 have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. He says, man, the prophets of old writing about the person of Jesus. You think of the psalmist, David, writing some of the psalms and penning these things out so eloquently. And he's just seeing these things. And he's, in that sense, longing to know and more fully see the person of whom he is writing. And I understand that grace, Man, we are the beneficiaries of that, as this has been penned for us. They desired and wanted to know. They inquired and searched carefully. Searching what or what manner of time, in verse 11, the Spirit of Christ who was in them as they're penning, the Spirit of the Lord moving through them, writing about the prophets of old, writing about the Son to come, the Savior to come. Think about Isaiah writing you know, all that we read in the one prophecy regarding the suffering servant, you know, talks about the sufferings of the Lord as this is being penned out. And he writes all this and he says, man, they sense all of this. The Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The angelic realm is so different than you and than me. The angelic realm is created beings that worship and serve God day and night. You know, this is all they do. They are created to do that, and that's all they do. You have been entrusted with something because we are made in the similitude or in the likeness of God. And you have been given the ability to choose each and every day. You have this unique design that you can choose to follow God in that situation. You can be yielded to His Spirit in that circumstance or not. The grace is that God loves you either way. The benefit to you is your growth and your development with the Lord. You know, you learn more about who He is and your identification with Him. But as you see this, and as we see that desire that they had, the angelic beings even wanting to look in and understand more intently what it is that's happening, this grace and this goodness of God, what it is that this is all about. Because God just loves you so much. And they see that. They're created just to do whatever God says, right then, right there. They don't think for themselves about that kind of stuff. They just do it. But you have this choice. And you see, when you respond to God, it just brings extreme joy in that sense. Because it's the culmination of real love. He's placed His real love in you and I as a Christian. He's placed that love in our hearts. And as He places that love in our hearts, there's this ability then that He gives us to respond back to His love. And it's just kind of creates this completed cycle where we love the Lord's loving us, and we're responding back to Him. I know sometimes if I could come up with better material, I would. But the best example I can give you is just, you know, raising kids, because that's what God's doing. We're His kids. He's just raising kids. And there the kids would be running through the house when they're tiny little guys running around. I'd grab a hold of one, hey, give me a hug, you know. We even watch it with our grandchild who's a little bit older now. He's able to kind of comprehend kind of some stuff, and he's busy and we're leaving and he doesn't want us to leave, so he doesn't really want to say bye, you know. And, you know, his mom or his dad tells him, hey, hugs and squeeze, give him a kiss, say goodbye, you know. We tell him we love him and stuff. But it's very different. It's very different. It is very different when your child or your young person comes to you and just says, gives you a hug and says, I love you. That was their choice to respond. Certainly prompted by your continual care, right? Your interests. But when it's unsolicited like that in that sense, and it's just this, just, hey, I love you. It means something very special. It's something that God receives that he's so blessed by, that he's so thankful because he loves you with that kind of love, that perfect love. And when you just reach out and respond to him, it means so much to the Father. When you just let him know that you love him and that you appreciate him and that you're thankful for all he's doing, Peter is simply saying, hey, shift your focus. Problems are many. Issues are great. Persecution, intense. Shift your focus, though, and just let the Father know that you love him. Just respond to him because that's eternal. That's the eternal realm. That's what really matters. That's what really counts. And you will find you will never have a time that God doesn't respond back to you. If you draw near to him, the Bible says, we just read in James, that he will draw near to you. It's a promise. Man, when you reach out, think about that, gals. When goofball hubby shows up one day and he actually brought flowers, and you're scrambling your mind, well, what was that? I know it's not a, you know, and just says, you know what? I love you. I just brought those home because I love you. That's a special day. Sorry, guys, now you're going to have to step up to the plate. You know, the note that you left, husband or wife, that note you left said, you know, I'm praying for you and I love you and I'm thinking about you today. Those are important things. Those are things that are remembered. Well, may we just simply respond to the Lord today and just let him know that we love him. You know, you can just tell him that as we close out in prayer. He's done everything for you and me. Regardless, despite of the circumstances you might be facing, no matter how difficult they might be, if you know the Lord, you are far past the person who is elated with the things going on around them, but don't know Jesus. You've got the greatest treasure of all, man, everlasting life. Father, thank you for the living hope that we have. It is greater than all other things, and today we're just so thankful for that. Lord, we just want to lift up our hearts to you and let you know from our own hearts individually, and we just want to tell you that we love you. Some of us didn't maybe grow up around loving fathers, but through your word, you tell us of who you are and your nature and your love for us. And so, Lord, we just want to respond back to you as Peter has so eloquently painted this wonderful picture of the eternal realm, and to shift our focus from what's happening now and to put it on the eternal, writing to people that are dispersed all over the world, the known world at the time. And we would see this as so important today in the day in which we live. Thank you, Lord, for loving us like you do. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for hearts that are softening, knowing the need. Come into your presence. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, I know as we listen to the word, oftentimes the Spirit begins to convict us. And you know, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. You know, it is very exclusive, Christianity is, and I know that offends some. But it's also all-inclusive in that anyone who would give their life to Jesus can have everlasting life, but it is exclusive in the sense that Jesus said he is the way, the only way to have everlasting life. If the Lord's tugging on your heart just now, would you open the door and let him in? Just pray this simple prayer of faith along with me now while you're driving or wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, sitting in front of a computer, wherever you are, whether it's through the internet or through the airwaves, I just encourage you right now to open your heart to Jesus and begin that new life. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, to be my personal Lord and Savior. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for the newness of life that I have in you, and I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might be pleasing to you and give you glory. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Calvary Chapel KC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.